When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
On this episode of the Town Tailgate, the Padres fall to the bottom of the NL West standings, why we think that is happening, and how they can make up the ground on the Dodgers. A new young star is arising in San Francisco. Let's see if he has any impact on the young regime coming up there. And the Yankees, just a lot going on with the Yankees. Pitcher gets suspended and Judge potentially stealing some signs. Then with A's news, an update on Mason Miller's injury. Esteruy Ruiz keeps on being hot with his bat, and Nick Allen, maybe he found his bat. It's all coming up next.
Coming to you live from Studio 54 in El Segundo, California. I'm Chris Madrigal. This is the Town Tailgate Podcast. Along with me is my partner in crime, Julio Reynoso. Hey, Julio, how's it going today?
They're battling through depression because the Golden State Warriors are gone.
First topic of the day, Golden State Warriors. Jonathan Kuminga, is he in or is he out?
It's like the Jimmy Fallon, and Ben Affleck. Dude, I love that. I watched that back recently, the Jimmy Fallon and Ben Affleck like radio host skit. That shit is so fucking funny. I love how Jimmy, they're like trying to make each other laugh, and they both do like multiple times in that skit.
I was thinking you were doing Will Ferrell doing Harry Carey for a second.
It's a little bit of both.
Yeah.
Because they kind of sound like that, don't they? I feel like they kind of sound like that.
Old time radio.
I also listened to the Always Sunny podcast recently, and Charlie Day opened up the podcast like that, and it was just like he did it a lot more funny because he's a comedian and I'm not, but it was pretty fucking good.
Yeah, always.
I'm still just pissed. Welcome to Town Tailgate Podcast, part of the Fan First Podcast Network. Follow us at Town Tailgate, and you know that I'm Chris. That's Julio. You guys know us. Anyway. Had to open the podcast. So right before we started this, we're watching the Lakers and Nuggets game on my TV in my in Studio 54 in El Segundo. We're just like talking about how depressed we are with the Warriors and how we're gonna try and fix them. So it's all over Julio's face.
It's not even that I'm mad. I'm disappointed to see how they went out.
Yeah.
That's what's disappointing about it. Like, they went out like that with just clank after clank after clank.
Yeah, losing by 20 to 30 points or whatever the fuck it was. I was at a bachelor party when I watched that, and we all just, like, it was just, we gave up at the beginning of the fourth quarter, and we're like, all right, cool, it's time to start drinking. And then me and Xavier went to the bar, because we went to another bar after that, and we just sat at the bar. Like, everybody, all the rest of the bachelor party was at our table that we had set up next to like this pool tables in this bar. Me and Xavier went to go get shots, and we just sat at the bar for 20 minutes and just talked about like what went wrong.
Blink 182 the B-side, what went wrong, you hate me, you hate me.
But like it's also just like losing to the Lakers made it 10 times worse too.
The worst part was like I was in Carmel. And I like, you know, Warriors
in Carmel.
Went up there for Whitney's mom's like birthday / mother's thing. It was lit.
Yeah, dude.
I was like wine drunk most of the day. I was eating bomb food. It was awesome.
There's something different about being wine drunk, especially in the sun.
Oh yeah. It was fantastic. It was excellent. But we were getting to sit down for a restaurant, and I heard a waitress go, "Go Lakers!" And I'm like, I'm in Northern California right now. Why am I hearing that? And like, it just. You know what? The one thing that made me feel better, the new Zelda.
Lakers that's are been a taking my brand, time, bro.
Yeah, it's true. That's true.
Yeah, how is the new Zelda? Jesse was talking about it all weekend.
Oh, I can't wait to see Jesse and talk about it with him tonight. It's awesome. It's
yeah,
whatever you could just whatever ideas you have or whatever you want to build in there. It's just
because Jesse, Sean, and my buddy Rob are all Switch gamers. And yeah, they were talking about the new Zelda, and Rob was like, "Yeah, I'm not going to be doing anything for 3 weeks."
Oh, it was killing me this whole past weekend because I made the decision to not play until I got home because I wanted my first experience that I wanted on our TV.
Yeah.
So I had the Switch with me, but I was just like, I couldn't do it. But now I'm all.
You didn't
want
to use like the handheld one?
Not my first impression of the game to be on this little screen. I wanted.
Do you have a 4K TV?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So like it's a game changer. Like a 65-inch TV at home. Yeah. 65, 70, you know, it's not about size, but you know.
I feel like 4K is necessary for gaming because of like the special effects. But like Larry, because me and Larry share a YouTube TV subscription, he wants to do like the 4K for this, and I'm like, and he's like, why? He's like, think about how cool it'd be during football season. And I'm just like, 4K for sports is like not that cool. It's really not that much of an upgrade. It's not changing the viewing experience that much.
Yeah, something special, but...
All right, we can go back to baseball.
Back to baseball!
All right, so let's start with the big three. Tim Hudson on the big three. I like how I do this every week now? And
Okay, all right. Okay, appreciate it.
I don't care. The Padres, they're bad. What's going on? They're 2-9 in their last couple weeks since the Kershaw meme came out and went viral. They lost the Royals.
2-3 to the Royals.
Yeah, I lost a series of the Royals, which is pretty bad when you lose the Royals. We even beat the Royals. We suck.
So the Kershaw meme for question, did you see what the whole thing was about?
Yeah.
So they showed a picture of...
But explain to the audience.
Yeah. Hey, audience. It's me, Julio, explaining stuff to you. During the Padres series, Dodgers-Padres a couple weekends ago, they knocked Kershaw out of the game. Matt Chapman just hit a game to... Oh, he hit foul. Sorry, we have a game going on the side. They knocked Kershaw out of the game, and then they posted the crying Jordan meme, but with Clayton Kershaw's...
In the stadium.
In the stadium, yeah. With Clayton Kershaw's face on it. Ever since then, they're 2-9. Don't poke the Bears. Everybody should know this by now.
Yeah.
Here are some fun stats to list off for you regarding the Padres' offense. They're currently batting 196 in runners in scoring position.
Holy shit.
That's worst in baseball.
Oh,
They are 208 batting average with runners on base. That's worst in baseball. They have
sounds like the A's in 2021 at the second half of the season.
They have struck out 108 times with runners in scoring position, most in Major League Baseball. 18 strikeouts with runners on third base, most in baseball. And then they have a 42.1% K rate with bases loaded, highest in the
K-rate.
National
that sounds
League.
Fancy.
Yeah, K rate. My first initial thought of this was because, you know, Bo Mel, we've obviously seen him for such a long time, is his teams historically always start slow. They always start slow for some weird reason.
Mm-hmm.
And then I looked at the calendar and it's May 18th. So there is a lot of explaining to start going on.
The 2021 A's started 0-13.
Oh, God. No, that was that 2021 or 2022?
I thought that was 21.
Either way, we know that he has a history of bad lineups and or just bad starts. What the heck? Like, Manny Machado has been very underperforming, and now he's going to be out on and off for a little bit of time because he has a minor break in his hand. Tatis is back. He looked pretty hot for a little bit of time.
He looks bad defensively.
Yeah, he's made.
I watched him yesterday make two errors in back-to-back innings, like bad ones. Like a ball was rolling, like a ball hit midfield and rolled in the outfield, which is easy, just a scoop, swing, throw, and he misses the scoop, and it just rolls past him.
And he has his arm is cool. That's the thing we'll see all the time, but it hasn't. It doesn't mean anything if you can't field the ball properly.
I mean, they're 8 games back from the Dodgers now. That's how much this loss streak like fucked them. The Giants have a better record.
Oof. Do you think this is a real thing? Do you think
no,
this
they'll
is
be fine.
Well, what gives you the confidence? Is it just because
they have so
the,
much
the
insane
guys?
Talent? Yeah.
Yeah, just because these are the guys.
I mean, their
you've
pitching's
seen it
not good either.
Again.
Yu Darvish was terrible yesterday.
It is I'm not as high on this rotation as other people have.
I mean,
been.
Snell's washed.
It is weird.
He had a stint last year that kind of saved his season, that made him like pretty good, and then he was good in the playoffs. But he's been terrible so far this season. I mean, he hasn't been the guy since Tampa must have knew. I mean, we all like criticized Tampa when they traded him, but like they must have knew something because he's fallen off since he left. But I think he's just past his prime. I don't think he's bad. I just think he's past his prime. He's on the downhill now. So he's still going to be a good starter, but is he going to be their ace? No.
Is he going to be a Cy Young winner? Will he ever get back to that?
No,
probably
but
not.
Yu Darvish is that guy still. He is still in his prime. He just had a bad. He's had a bad couple starts. That doesn't help the situation either.
Michael Wacha had a great start the other night. He had a no hitter going for 7 innings.
Dude, their bullpen several too. I had Martinez on my because he used to get holds like crazy, and holds are a save now in our fantasy league. He's been terrible. His ERA was like 11. I had to get rid of him. I dumped him for Jesse Chavez.
I think
former Oakland great.
Former Uncle Jay. There we go. I do agree that they'll bounce back. I think the Dodgers have proven a lot to everybody that it's like it doesn't matter who's in this team. They're a machine. So like I think we've proven who we thought they were.
Yeah, but we've been talking about their farm system for why are you banging your thigh?
So I was doing that. They are who we thought they were.
Oh, I thought you were upset with what you said, and I was like,
we let them off the hook.
You said it fine. The Dodgers, we've been talking about their farm system for years though. So it's like people freak out when they lost, including me, I criticize them. They lost these big players in the offseason and they didn't sign anybody major. They missed out on like Correa and all that stuff, but they have all this talent that's like been ready for years, and it's like, all right. And then they find guys like Trace Thompson out of nowhere.
He was always there in our hearts, Chris.
He was. One thing that they should be a little concerned is Arizona is really good this year, so like they're gonna have to trump them. So that's interesting.
Yeah,
sneaky good.
Yordan Gurriel like demolished things this week. What? Just dude. Every time, like God, this guy was.
Is that Yuri's younger brother?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or Yuli.
They look exactly alike.
Yeah.
Just different hair. That's how you know they're different.
It's going to be interesting. It seems like shout out to Tim Wiseman. He's also he's in first place in our league, just the Dodgers. Lifelong Dodgers fan, and we were kind of talking about this whole new Dodgers-Padres beef and how Padre fans have been pretty nasty for a lot of these games in Petco. And he brought up a good point, and he's like, this happens all – like, he's like, this has been nonstop for the last 10 years of the Dodgers being the team they are now, which is like – NL West team gets hot for a little bit. They become a rivalry for a couple years. That team falls off. The Dodgers still there. NL East team plays well again.
That's a good point.
And, you know, it was the Giants a couple years ago. It fell off. And then there was a short time where the D-backs were in the mid-2010s when they jumped in the pool.
D-backs and the Rockies.
Yeah, fell off. So right now we're just in the Padres phase. But if things don't start changing for them, that Diamondbacks phase is going to start coming up much faster than we think.
I think they'll be fine, man. I could see three teams in this division make the playoffs, but I think they'll be fine. They have too much talent. It's like, at the end of the day, especially with baseball, like talent trumps everything. And we talk about their manager all the time because he's a former A's manager, but
he'll
figure it out.
I have enough faith in, I think we've seen it. We've seen it for years with Bomel where like, he, at the end of the day, will figure out the right thing to get this team back on track.
Mm.
My only concern with this, and then this will be my last thing, is that I don't know how he will react with it of players of this magnitude that he's never had before. He's never had multiple potential for like Hall of Famers.
Yeah, but he always, I think he's really good at identifying the leader in the clubhouse and empowering that person. And Manny's a good leader, dude.
He's definitely.
And I think he proved that last year. He kind of led that team through the playoffs, and he's matured now. I don't know. It's different. I mean, like again, Bomel's really good at that. He identifies who the leader in the clubhouse is, and he empowers them. And he like, you know, Marcus, and there was Johnny Gomes back in the day, and there was, you know, All these, like, do this the list forever. All these guys who have stepped up. So I think it'll be fine.
Manny matured, though.
That wasn't good. All right, we're going to move on to the next one. Also, we got to remember that Tony Gosselin's back too. So, like, that Dodger pitching has, like, stepped it up.
But now they're losing Dustin May.
Fair point. All right, Julio, what's next?
The unstoppable
Mark Mulder.
Mark Mulder, this rotation. Hey, Giants fans, guess what? We have positive things to say about your team. You get one a month, and this time it is the unstoppable rookie, that is Casey Schmidt. Shortstop for the San Francisco Giants has been lighting up the diamond since he's been called up a couple weeks ago.
Has Brandon Crawford been playing? Sorry, I don't watch a lot of Giants games because they suck.
Hasn't he been hurt?
Cool.
Yeah. Well, look, it doesn't matter where he's playing. I'm sure Casey's jumping over the place. But he has been an absolute tear since he was called up. He's batting over 400 over the last few weeks. Here are some pretty insane stats that were listed off
by Yahoo.
So Farhan
actually did something and found a prospect, huh?
Yeah, there you go. Way to go, Farhi.
Sorry, finish this and then I'll tell you the story.
Casey Schmidt is the second MLB player to have at least 8 hits, 4 RBIs, 4 runs scored over the first 3 career games. The only other player to ever do that is the East Bay legend himself, Joe DiMaggio. We don't know him from anything else. Yeah, he might have played some baseball, but he is a native East Bay. He's got a street in Antioch.
He's from the East Bay?
Hmm?
Where?
I think he's from Oakland.
Dude, married the hottest girl in the world. He's ugly, too. I never understood that. He's got some fucked up teeth. He had some fucked up teeth. Just saying. But Marilyn Monroe, I mean, she was jumping around.
Martinez.
Everywhere. Oh, sick.
Not Chris Martinez, but he's from Giuseppe Paolo DiMaggio.
Nice. I mean, it's the Yankees and it's the Italian that I assumed New York, but that's cool. Anyway, what was I going to say about the Giants? Oh, so this past weekend, I was with a bunch of Giants fans, and I was, like, sitting down, and I was asking them, what are your feelings towards, like, Farhan? Because, like, I have some serious thoughts and criticisms, and they all agree. They're tired of him. Like, that one season was fantastic, the 100-whatever wins. But, like, it's just such an outlier. They all had career years that year. And it's just, like, he hasn't done jack fucking shit since then. So they're just, like missing on Joey Bart. I guess Joey Bart was there before he came in. But, like, I don't know. It's just so many things. And hearing their frustration just gave me so much satisfaction.
That's all? Just, like, yeah. I just liked hearing their frustration.
Yeah, I just wanted to point that out.
But it's kind of interesting because, like, you know, I think it's easier for us to hate on the Giants because of just years of animosity towards them. And a lot of these contracts they have right now are pretty mid-level. There's nobody they're really paying over the top for. The highest paid contract right now is $18 million a year with Michael Conforto. He's been decent so far.
He's been good.
Yeah. I don't want to say that the Giants deserve to win because, again, haters in us, they never deserve a win in our heart. But I think they do deserve a little bit of something because of we have so many loved ones that are Giants fans. And even if it's just a little bit of hope for them, sure. And let's be real. When was the last great, legitimately great Giants prospect who got to the bigs? The show they did it.
Buster Posey.
Buster. And that was 14
Brandon
years
Webb.
Ago.
Brandon Webb was a was
Brandon
a high,
Webb?
Was a high, he was a high draft pick, or a high draft pick, yeah.
Brandon Webb?
Webb, whatever the fuck his first name is.
Logan Webb.
Logan Webb, sorry.
Oh.
Brandon Webb from the Diamondbacks.
I was also thinking of that quarterback. Wasn't there a New York Giants quarterback? Joe Webb?
No, it was I know what you're talking about. It was he played for Cal. That's how I know. But anyway, it doesn't matter. Keep going. Logan Webb. Logan Webb, wasn't he a high draft pick? I thought he was. I mean, the jury's out on him though. So, all right, Casey Schmidt. Let's see where he was drafted. He was drafted in the second round. So, like, he's a pretty high prospect, I would say.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. It's, yeah. It's, I'm wondering if the what year was he drafted, actually?
2020. Hold on. 2020 from San Diego State. He's a college guy, so that's typically about 2 years is typically what happens for college guys.
And I'm thinking for...
Oh, from Chula Vista.
Hey! Oh, qué bueno! Mm-hmm. Chula Vista, ándale.
Stayed local and went to San Diego State, Aztecs.
I think as Farhan deserves a ton of shit. He deserves it from everybody, from every corner, for how the Correa situation was handled, to how whiffing on Aaron Judge, to you know, some of these kind of boneheaded contracts that were kind of tossed out over the last few years thinking they can try to replicate 2021. But I think seeing someone like Casey Schmidt, who was drafted in 2020, if he can actually show that, like, look, he might not be the eye when it comes to actual professional or guys who are veteran players, maybe his talent is going to be more towards the prospect side of things, then I think the Giants fans are going to say that's a win.
Then why doesn't he do that, though? Like, he could have done that last year, and he didn't. Instead, he, like, went for it and, like, made some trades to try to get some players and make a run, even though, like, the Padres just started coming on there, and they had all that talent, and the Dodgers were dominating that division. Like, why not just, like, wave the white flag at the end of July and, like, try and get some prospects in the building so you have a higher chance? Like, as much as we hate Billy Beane and David Forrest for selling, you know, the guys that we love, you know, the Matt Olsons and the Matt Chapmans for prospects, you know, when you're trying to rebuild a team, that is the best strategy because you're giving yourself a higher percentage of a star in the future. It's like, yes, we drafted Tyler Soderstrom. Who knows if his talent will translate to the big leagues? We don't know that. We hope that, but we don't know that. So if you get other guys that are high prospects, it just ups your chance of getting some star power. Like, does that makes sense?
Yeah.
So that's what I'm trying to say. But we haven't seen that from Farhan. He hasn't done that, which doesn't make any sense to me because his mentor is Billy Beane, the guy who does nothing but that.
I'm just wondering, too, if the ghost of the championship teams still kind of lingers with this team, with this franchise.
I don't think it does because no one's showing up at the ballpark. So not
for the fan-wise, of course. But I'm just saying in the front office, you know, having – you know, that team's gone. It's only Brandon Crawford now at this point. But I wonder if that was lingering for a little bit of just like, maybe these guys still have something where can they forget it?
But why would that linger?
Why would it linger? Like,
to try and sell season tickets at the beginning of the season to get people, hey, guess what? Brandon Bell, he's still here. Remember him? He was on those championship teams.
And I think it's also just like...
Or the owners just like has an emotional attachment to them.
I think it's not just the owner. I think it's just teams. Because like, I hate to say this, but like, if, knock on wood, if this is it for these Warriors teams, we're going to be having that same sort of sentiment. It's going to be hard to watch these guys. Like,
just completely different.
But yeah, it's going to...
Steph Curry is not.
No, like Steph, but it's like it's going to be hard because there's going to be a time in these next couple of years where like Klay's going to be gone. Draymond's going to be gone. It's like even if it's on another team, if they're like forced to retire, like we're going to have that same hard feeling like, well, Steph's there, so maybe we can get a little bit of something. So like with the Giants, it seemed like they've kind of had that little dilemma where it's like, well, fuck it. This is Buster's last year. We're going to go all out this year. And you realize we're totally getting far off from highlighting Casey Schmidt, and it's awesome that he's had this awesome start. And I you know, I low key hope that he continues this, but I think it's going to be, it's not really more of a testament to how good of a player he's been in this system so far. It's more of a testament of like, is this where Farhan, his expertise is really going to show through?
Five games isn't enough to like figure that out. Remember John, what's his name? John Bowker or something like that. But he was on the Giants. He was right after the Barry Bonds era. He came up the same year and same time as Tim Lincecum. He went off and had like this insane like month run, and then he didn't do shit after that. So I mean, this could be that too. So I don't want to get ahead of myself.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
I went to a game where he hit like two home runs. It was like crazy, and I was like, this guy's better than Barry Bonds. And then a month later, I forgot his name.
Guess where his hometown is?
Where?
Sacramento. Who John this? Bowker.
Bowker. So it is Bowker. Okay, cool. All right. Last piece, Barry Zito. This is a general conversation about the Yankees because there's a lot of interesting things going on with the Yankees. First off, Herman. What is Herman's first name?
Domingo Herman.
Domingo Herman. Not the ace, that's Garrett Cole, but star pitcher, starting pitcher for the Yankees, was popped for using foreign substances while pitching, and he got a 10-game suspension recently. That's about, I think that's the, I think 10-game suspension is
the norm.
The norm for that, yeah. And also, this went viral, a video of Aaron Judge, who in a game against the Toronto Blue Jays on Monday, right before or when he's in the batter's box and pitcher is getting his signs and he's about to deliver his pitch, Aaron Judge is his eyes are kind of like glancing over to the side, what looks like he's over to the dugout, and right after the announcers for the Blue Jays point that out, he hits a home run. He had two home runs in that game alone. A lot to be said about that. I thought the Blue Jays announcers were kind of bringing it up for no reason, but you know, make of it what you will. If you think that they're like sign stealing again, I doubt that. Especially with the pitch com, it's kind of like not possible. I just think the pitcher was tipping his pitches and he was getting signals from the dugout about which pitch it was, because one of the coaches probably pointed, like, figured it out.
Yeah, it and I think it was pointed out like the day after or later in the evening after that start was that that pitcher was actually a rookie. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of one of those things where just like they rookies out there. I think it was like it might have been his first start, but like.
Probably nervous, has a twitch, and when he gets a fastball, he leans one way or something like that, or when he gets a turns his head or something like that, and yeah.
You ever hear the story of just tipping pitches of Randy Johnson, where he told a story where he's like, who's a Eduardo Perez on ESPN? He went up to it one time when he got when during his Hall of Fame induction ceremony, and he was like, "Are you aware your whole career?" You were tipping one of your pitches. He's like, what? He's like, your whole career. He's like, it was your his slider. I think it was. He's like,
that's I wild. Knew, and he still he's like,
I knew
people.
You were going to throw a slider every time. He's like, did it matter? So it's pretty interesting that like, it really it depends on the person where Randy Johnson's whole career. But it's kind of a, it's, I think everybody is just so, I don't want to say cautious, but I feel like a lot of people are willing to jump the gun, already point the blame or the fingers like, oh, this person's cheating, because, yeah. Of course, the Astros, I think it's all still so fresh with us that, like, any time that there's opportunity where we can kind of make these allegations towards players, like, people want to jump on it. And that kind of goes back with the Domingo Herman thing. He has suspended 10 games. This is actually – he's had multiple suspensions now at this point. He was on the team suspension because he was arrested for domestic abuse. There's also a quote from, I believe this is the crew chief of the night. Hoy? James Hoy was the
Ahoy?
Ahoy, Hoy. But he had said the instant I looked at his hand, it was extremely and shiny and extremely sticky. Hmm. It's the stickiest hand I've ever felt.
That's just, I mean, pause. That's just an umpire like trying to rationalize to the fans like their decision.
My fingers had a hard time coming off of his palm.
Oh yeah, you had a hard time coming, huh?
Coming up.
Yeah, I mean, Herman, I mean, just get together, bro. That's all I got to say for that one.
We need to get some of these.
Scherzer got suspended for that shit recently, too. And
the sticky bandits of New York.
He, like, flew. Hey, that's a good one. And he, like, threw a fit. And, you know, I mean, come on, bro. You just got to get together.
I mean, back Scherzer's been known to throw a fit or two, so.
Yeah, yeah. Like, the whole, when the substance thing, like, checks first started happening. I was listening, or I was watching Dan Patrick the other day, and he was like, he brought up like the ideas, like, because the Blue Jays announcers were up in arms about it, and he's like, oh, or one of his producers said, yeah, but there's no rule against if a pitcher's tipping his pitches, you have to like not pay attention, like it's not like they're completely breaking the rules like the Astros did. And Dan Patrick saying like, yeah, but it's one of the unwritten rules of baseball. Fuck that, dude. Like, if you're tipping your pitches, I'm going to take advantage of that shit so much. Like, just be you. I mean, that's on you, bro. That's on you. You got to figure that shit out, and you got to fucking fix it. Like, if you want to pitch in the big leagues, like, come on.
No, I agree. It's a natural aspect of the game. If you're doing something to like truly exploit it, where
they're not using technology or
anything like that, that's a different story. But if you're just like,
well, I mean, they're probably using technology, but in the realms of the rules of baseball, because, you know, they have their iPads, they can rewatch in the dugout. They're allowed to rewatch footage of their at bats to like see what's going on. And I guarantee, like, the pitching coach or something saw something. And he's like, or the hitting coach is like, oh shit! And then he's pointing it out to his players.
It's weird that the Yankees still are like playing well over the last few weeks. I'm trying to pull up their standings in front of me.
Why?
Because like their rotation's a mess right now. Like Garrett Cole. He's been pitching great this year, but Frankie's not going to be pitching this year. We don't know what's going on with Carlos Rodon. I know our boys, the Four Trains, have been tweeting like, all right, dude, any day now, we figure out what's going on. Now you got Domingo Herman suspended for 10 games. Set Luis Severino has still been out. They're 26-20, 7-3, or they're 8-2 in their last 10. So they've been playing great ball, but it's kind of improbable, especially with how tough this division is. So I'm going to give credit where credit is due. I hate that team, but they've been outperforming where they should have right now, in my opinion.
Yeah, 100%.
Because they're cheating.
All right, we're going to end. We're going to end the. Big three with a SportsCenter stat. You ready for a SportsCenter stat, Julio?
Da-da-da. Oh, we don't have the rights to it. Can't finish it. Sorry.
Don't. Yeah. You know what a SportsCenter stat is, though, right?
Yeah. SportsCenter.
No, but it. Yeah. Do you know what it is?
Is it like they show like the at the end of a highlight and they'll be like, oh, this is the first time that LeBron James has done this since.
But it's a ridiculous stat. It's like, this is the first time a player with the last name James has scored 32 points,
oh, yes,
15 rebounds, and 3 assists while also shooting 50% from the field and playing on a Tuesday against the Denver Nuggets.
Yes.
And it's like, wow, who was in charge of looking up that stat? So here's a SportsCenter stat for you. Zach Greinke becomes the fifth pitcher in MLB history to strike out 1,000 different players. Is that going to be on his Hall of Fame plaque? No. Who cares? All right. We're going to go to a quick break, and we'll be right back to talk about the A's.
I thought it was cool.
And we're back! Yeah. Welcome to the Townsend Kid Podcast, where we're going to talk about the Oakland A's, the team that we love to follow and love to complain about, because right now, they suck ass! Julio, your thoughts?
Every day it just gets a little bit harder.
Yeah.
But hey, you know what? I got myself to watch two games.
Two games, huh?
And they won one.
Good for you. All right, so the A's splits this past weekend. They won one of four games against the Texas Rangers.
The walk-off from Brent Rooker, baby!
And then, yeah, that was actually pretty cool.
That was awesome.
And then the extra innings win in a three-game series against the Arizona Diamondbacks. They won one on Tuesday, extra innings, walk-off win. by our boy Esteruy Ruiz. His third walk-off of the season? I want to say it was third. It might have been his second.
Yeah, yeah. The fact that he has multiple walk-offs is pretty interesting.
Yeah, he's been crushing it lately, too.
Love it.
So that was fun. Shit, what was the first story we were talking about? Oh, Nick Allen. He's on a heater. Finally turned it around. We were complaining about him. We thought we were talking about Jordan Diaz. Jordan Diaz looks like he's going to be more of a second baseman who he has been hitting well as well. But Nick Allen, hold on, let me pull up his stats.
I got it right in front of me. Nick Allen, the last week, is batting .375 over the last 2 weeks. He's batted .260. Over the last month, he's batting .261. On the season, he is now batting .210. Is that great? No. But he was batting, like, I heard it on the broadcast the other day. He was batting like .96 or .90.
It brought his average up to 200 something.
So, yeah, tremendous improvement.
Yeah.
Let's see how sustainable this will be. But I think if he can hit like this, if he can hit like 250, 260 and play the defense he can, then we don't have to have these conversations anymore about who's playing short.
He made the dopest spinning catch or spinning ground ball throw out to first I've ever seen in my life the other day, and it was badass.
It's okay. He makes these. He's not a big guy at all. I think he's like 5'10".
He's super short. No, he's shorter than that, dude.
He's kind of like a what when, you know, before, you know how they say like Cal Ripken broke the mold of what shortstops are, like every short.
He's 5'8".
Jesus Christ.
166
short
pounds.
Short king. Well, you know how they say like Cal Ripken is the one who like broke the mold of like what a shortstop could be, because like normally, you know, shortstop were historically these short kings. And then Cal Ripken, and now every shortstop's got to be like 6'2 or bigger.
Yeah.
So it's kind of dope that like he is now the he is now like the old school player in a way,
like the Pee Wee Reese's. Back
yeah,
like in the day.
Pee Wee Reese, you know, and Luis Capiano. Anyways.
Well, by God, guys, if he's a better shortstop than me, he deserves my position.
Yeah,
that's Pee Wee. It's a historical quote from Pee Wee Reese about Jackie Robinson.
And then one day we're gonna have your name on the back of everybody's jerseys.
Maybe one day. No, he says maybe one day we'll all wear the number 42.
That's
he was a hick. Yeah, he's fun. And I was looking at you know, that play again and just his play in general, shortstop, and the difference between him and Chapman, because it's hard not to compare. I mean, compare. You know, are probably our best defensive player now to our best defensive player in the last era. Chapman made these like insane plays where you're just like, how the fuck does he do that? Nick Allen, he makes it look so effortless where it's like, I could make that play, but then I can't. You know what I mean? Like, it just, he makes it look so easy. Like the spinning thing that he did, there's no way he should have thrown that ball on target. And guess what? It wasn't even a bouncing like catch for Aguilar at first base. It was just straight to him, like immediately, just a straight catch right to him. Didn't have to stretch or anything like that. It just blows my mind how he could do that. It's great.
And he's only 24.
Yeah, he's
like
young.
I keep forgetting that. Like he's still super young. Yeah. He doesn't turn 25 until October. So it's weird. I felt like the first couple months, I think the one thing I'm just getting kind of a little frustrated in, not just with this team, I think this is also just myself, is just like, I don't know why our patience level is so low with this team where we have this expectation. Because like,
we only won 9 games.
Yeah, and like we just want to say, we just need a savior of some sort, because like we've always talked about. And
you don't think Ruiz has kind of been that savior though? Like, Rooker has, but Rooker's on a slump right now, so
yeah.
Not as much.
Yes and no. I think, Ruiz is starting to get to that. But I'm thinking of, like, when 2008 and 2009, you know, we just had these, like, awesome playoff teams, and then Barry Zito left, Frank Thomas left, Nick Swisher got traded, and then we had fucking Jack Cust come up, and he had an article in Sports Illustrated about all this stuff. I feel like we haven't. And, like, that was a thing that, like, there's only something to get look forward to with these teams.
Yeah.
And we're slowly finding out what it's going to be right now. And I think the nice part is, this is just me being an optimist, we're finding potential of where it could be. Whether it's Nick Allen figuring out how to hit, whether it's maybe Brent Rooker is going to sustain this, maybe it's Ruiz is going to steal 60 bases. Like, there's going to be – there's a lot.
I mean, he's on pace to steal 60 bases or more.
Are you – do you have any more about Nick Allen, or let's go jump right into him?
You want to jump into Ruiz? I was going to jump into my bit about the team in the future. And
yeah. Positions. Oh, yeah. Let's – yeah. Yeah.
I can see clear as day this – the future of this team 2 years from now. I could name you every single position easily. That's how – I know the record doesn't show it, but that's how much the team is starting to develop and these guys are starting to stand out. Shay Langelier is at catcher, obviously. Duh. Tyler Soderstrom at first. Jordan Diaz at second. Nick Allen at short. Zach Gelof at third. Brent Rooker at left field. Esteruy Ruiz at center, J.J. Bleda in right field. And then you got role players, Lawrence Butler, who is a utility player, for those of you who don't know. I know he played a lot of outfield for in spring, but he can play first base. He can play second base. He's a little bit of a utility player. Logan Davidson in the midfield coming off the bench. Denzel Clark in the outfield as a sub. Rotation, Mason Miller, Kyle Moeller, Ken Wolichuk, JP Sears, Freddie Tarnock. Boom. I just gave you the 2025 Oakland A's. You're welcome, listeners.
With a retiring...
Jimenez closing.
With the retiring... who's like some old guys? Josh Donaldson as our DH.
Oh, God.
Bring him back. Bring him back for one last
as
go around.
DH.
Yeah, it's...
Actually, you know what? Lawrence Butler, DH. Boom.
There we go. Yeah, and it's like that... It's just so hard to see what it will be until we start seeing consistent everyday play from a lot of these guys.
Yeah.
Once we start seeing that happening, then I can feel like, all right, things are starting to click up a little bit. We can have a true... Right now, we're just kind of just holding on to like what we think would be.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of Mason Miller, hey... Look at that.
Segway.
Yeah, that's right. Just like the scooters. Mason Miller.
Bad news, good news.
Yes.
Good news is he won't need surgery. It's not season ending. And it's not Tommy John, so it's not like a complete rebuild or rehab. He did strain his UCL. He will be out for a while, but we'll probably see him sometime midsummer. So it's not anything major. That's great news.
The bad news is it's going to be out for a while.
Yeah, I mean, midsummer, late summer, that's fine. We're not in a pennant race, so it's not dire. It's not Chris Bassett getting nailed in the face when we need him most.
Oh, God, I forgot about that. Do you know if he's had Tommy John before?
I don't.
Okay, I'll try and think off the top of my head. I don't think he has either.
With how much heat he throws, I doubt it.
Yeah, I agree. They definitely avoided the worst. I think it.
Yeah,
and it's kind of a bummer though, because it's like, I think we tweeted about it, just saying like this was like the one super positive thing we had to the first couple months of this season, just how excited it was. He was getting a lot of national attention.
Yeah,
and it's just getting shelved, but it could have been much worse. So I'm glad that's over with. Esteruy Ruiz.
I mean, he's going to probably break Ricky Henderson's single-season stolen base record.
Wait, wasn't it Ricky's record like 130?
I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I'm like,
I mean, he's kind of on pace for it.
I'm wondering if...
He's not on pace for it. He's on pace for his, like, rookie record or something like that. But he's going to steal, like, 80 stolen bases, dude. It's going to be insane. It's going to be the most we've seen in, like... 60, 70, 80. It's going to be like the most we've seen in like 20 years.
I'm wondering what...
The last like big base dealer was like Sean Figgins. Sean Figgins from the Angels. The third
Billy
baseman.
Hamilton.
Billy Hamilton, I don't think, ever got more than like 40 though.
That's...
And D.D.
D.D. Gregorius.
No, not D.D. Gregorius. Sorry, D. Gordon. D. D. Gordon had like 50 or 60 one season too. I mean, I think the pitch clock is a big, and the new rules, like throwing over to first, is a big reason for that, but it's still pretty wild.
The most steals Billy Hamilton had in this season was 59.
Okay, what about Sean Figgins?
Let's go look up Sean Figgins.
He spelled his name weird. It was like C-H, right? Something like that.
C-H-O-N-E. He stole 62 in 2005.
Yeah. And then D. Gordon stole something around then. I remember it because that was when like the 1 year the Dodgers weren't good. I think it was like the first year I moved here in 2014 or something like that. I think they had like a bunch of injuries. And like D. Gordon was like their best player, and he was like all they could be like excited about.
D. Strange Gordon stole 64 bases.
Yeah.
64, 58, 60. Jesus Christ, that guy was so fast.
Yeah.
It's kind of, yeah, there's a, you're right. I think there's a real chance like he can still he like.
He definitely get 60 if he doesn't get hurt. Knock on wood.
Knock on wood if you're with me. We got some Vegas news.
We don't talk about that guy, John Gruden. Don't bring him up ever again.
Oh, God. Some Vegas news, but not really Vegas news because until the shovels are the ground, we don't know anything. Las Vegas or Nevada lawmakers have not yet introduced legislation to bring the Oakland A's to Las Vegas because they don't want to contribute as much of the deal as the team wants. It's to tell you that we already knew this, Las Vegas, but we could have told you that a mile before it even happened.
Yeah, we've been saying this for weeks. There's some things going on behind closed doors. There's some people who, with a lot of power in that city that probably have a lot to say about it. It's just more the same. It's just more of the Fisher family just pissing off another city.
So here's another scoop that was picked up. This is from John Ralston. He is the CEO of the Nevada Independent. He said lawmakers are drawing the line at $195 million in public subsidy. Hard bargainers that they are. Clark County is dithering on its end. All of this is supposed to be resolved in 18 days.
Yeah.
There are, and keep in mind, the A's want $400 million. Or initially it was $500
million.
And then it was brought down because Bally's was said they're going to cover.
Mm.
And then, or cover $100 million of it. They still needed like $105 million.
Yeah.
So they're $200 million. There's, it looks like there's going to be a $200 million difference.
Mm.
Chris, can you tell me off the top of your head, what is the difference between the city of Oakland, California, and the Oakland A's and how much they needed to cover?
$80 million.
Look, what was your major in college again?
Film.
Okay. My major was communications. So neither of us are math people.
Mm-mm.
I think $80 million is a lot less money than $200 to $300
million. Yeah. It's pretty simple to me.
It's just idiotic. It's just idiotic. And it's to the point where, God, it's to the point where, like, we're going to keep doing this. We have to keep fighting because, like, mm-hmm. Got to shout out to this amazing ESPN article that came out. Written by Tim Caone, ESPN senior writer. Oakland A's fans aren't going down without a fight. And he was one of the – I'm happy you sent that to me because he was one of the first – or not one of the first, but it's just nice to see people on this big of a platform like ESPN. Ken Rosenthal was doing it for The Athletic. Calling out bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
Where – they're seeing it right in front. We're not stupid anymore. This isn't 20 years ago where the Expos were getting away with all this because a lot of people didn't have the resources that we do have now. Like, people are frustrated. People are upset. You can't get away with this anymore.
Yeah.
So it makes like what I just wish somebody would, John Fisher would talk to somebody. I just wish this guy would say like, what makes you think this is going to work?
He's not going to, he never will. If he goes out, he'll do it quietly. I mean, I don't know. I don't know any. I don't know how much more I can break down this until I know we're updating it, but like I don't know how much more I can say after just giving the update. Like,
yeah,
it's the same old shit, different day.
It's just kind of hard to like. Let's be honest. It's harder to start recording these shows, and like we do it because like we love this team. Mm. We love having these conversations with each other. And, you know, for the people who do consistently listen to it, like, we love that you get to appreciate it. But, like, this shit is hard now because mm-hmm. it's, like, when the team is so terrible on the field.
Yeah.
When you're hearing all this news all over the place, it's hard. So, it's, like, you're making things harder. John Fisher, by not telling you, is making things harder for himself.
Mm-hmm.
He's making things – Dave Cavill can never step in the Bay Area ever again in public sight. He's going to have to wear a fake nose everywhere. You're making life worse for everybody involved than you are making it better. And you have the option to make it better if you just sold a team.
Yeah, at what cost, too? It's like, you know, we talked about how, like, a big reason why a lot of this is happening is, like, you know, it's something about the money that he isn't getting in Oakland. And he thought he was going to get that money in Vegas and... It's because he doesn't have the money because Gap stock isn't doing so well. It's like, all right, dude, if you're losing your fortune because your company is going to shit because no one – I don't know anybody who bought Gap after the age of 10, but that's, you know, beyond the point. Like, wouldn't selling your baseball team for, like, a couple billion dollars kind of solve that problem for you? Like, I just – I don't know, bro.
Dude, check – okay. Check out today. So today's Thursday, May 18th. MLS announced that they're having an official expansion team to San Diego. The new owners are, I can't remember the name off his top of his head, but he's an Egyptian business owner. And then the other partial owners are going to be members of a tribe native of Southern California, as well as Manny Machado. Hey, look at that. The expansion fee is $500 million that they had to pay. $500 million. That is up more. I think they said the last team that paid for an expansion fee was like $75 million. Somebody will buy the A's for a few bill at least because like that's just how the way the market works going to work now.
I mean, the Suns just got sold for $5 billion. I mean, the A's aren't worth as much as the Suns, but they're a professional sports team that's in one of the four major sports. It's going to sell for a couple billion at least.
And Casey Pratt had pointed out that he got a couple scoops that, like, he's talked to people, like, they have buyers. The A's have buyers still.
Yeah,
the Bears.
Two major buyers lined up. One of them is the rumored that Tom Hanks is part of one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be so cool.
It'd be cool if it's the right owner. I mean.
Honestly, I want Steph. Steph should just be a partial owner.
I doubt that. Like,
I could see it as being a part of me, a new Magic Johnson kind of thing. But. No. Nothing more I can really talk about it. It's just, it's frustrating.
I'm over the Vegas talk until the next update. That's the best way I can explain it.
The good news is we won't be recording next week because I'm going to be out of the state. So.
Yeah. Where are you going?
Going to Disney World.
Oh, nice. I heard it's like fucking way doper now. They did a bunch of new shit, right?
They got a Guardians of the Galaxy roller coaster. They got a Tron
roller coaster. Yeah. Oh, no. I was going to say, dude, they have a Guardians ride at Disneyland.
I'm just going to be.
How many days are you doing?
7 days?
Yeah. You can't do it in 2 days.
No.
I tell people that all the time. Because they're like, oh, Disneyland I did in 2 days. Like, yeah, dude. You don't know what you're talking about.
Got to go drinking around the world. Can't wait. I'm already planning out my strategy. Oh, got to.
Yeah.
Are you staying
on site or one of the hotels?
We're staying
there?
At the on site throughout the resort.
Those hotels are crazy. They're like they're like Vegas hotels. They're like built for you to never leave.
Dude, the first couple nights we're staying at the Boardwalk and it's connected to Epcot, so it's just like drinking around the world.
Oh, that's cool.
If I can't make it, great, walk back to the room.
Yeah.
All right, you're welcome to Disney talk over here with us, but that's all we got.
I mean, that's just kind of what we do. We just kind of tangent off.
Tangents.
All right, let's preview the coming week.
Toronto!
This week we got Houston, heading to Houston for a 3-game series, and then heading to Seattle for a 4-game series Monday through Thursday. Julio, your player of the week, your last week's Essential Tailgate Tool of the Week was... Oh, you didn't put him on here.
Yeah, it's Ken. It was Ken Waldachuk.
Okay, cool.
Ken Waldachuk was my guy.
Oh, you did, yeah.
He wasn't terrible. He wasn't great. I think we're starting to see a little bit of improvement over his last few starts this season. He went five innings, seven hits, four runs, three earned runs, five strikeouts. Hey.
Ooh, three earned.
Yeah, five strikeouts, but five walks. So
right. I was just fucking around.
And I think the thing is, too, you got to take all this with a little bit, optimism to it. The Rangers are legit. I think the Rangers are actually like a really good baseball team.
They're in first place.
They're in first place.
I keep saying this.
They're in first place for a reason. So it's great to kind of see a little bit of, going against one of these better teams and holding their own. Yeah. You'll take those kind of things.
I had Brent Rooker and see if he could sustain his run. He did not. He's gotten a tad bit worse. Not a lot worse, but a tad. Let me pull up his splits real quick, just to give some context to the audience. And right now I'm stalling, so I could do that. I got it right here. Boom, done. Last week, Brent Rooker, he had five hits, hit 200 batting average, four RBIs, one home run. I mean, that's it. Here's the thing. It's not like a slump. I mean, it's a slump, but it's not like a major slump. We've seen worse slumps than that. I mean, Tony Kemp had 44 straight up bats or something like that where he didn't get a hit. Finally got one this past week. That was cool. We'll see. We'll see if he's a consistent player hitter or if he's slumpy like a Ramon or something like that. All right, who's your player of the week?
My player of the week. It's going to be one or the other, right? Is this like kind of our new tradition? Like you get one guy, I'll get the other, right?
Yeah, I'm going to pick Nick Allen, though.
All right, cool. Yeah, lead off. Cool. Oh, yeah, go ahead and talk about him.
Man. I mean, mine's going to be Nick Allen for all the reasons that we talked about earlier in the podcast, how he's hitting 375 this past week. You know what he's mastered? The art of the bunt.
Yes.
His hits are bunts, and it's like, smart man. Like, he notices the third baseman's like hella far back. Like, all right, I'll bunt it down. I'm faster than most of the people on this field. It's great. And he times them out perfectly. It's Nick Allen. He's putting on a show at shortstop, and then he's finally hitting. So it's great. Keep it up, Nick.
And I'm just going to go to Ruiz, the two guys we talked about right in the middle. He's hit 333. Nice. On base percentage is 412. He had three walks, three steals, six RBIs. He had his first home run of the season. So, hey, yo, there you go. And on this season, he's batting .277, on base percentage of .340. He's been advertised as we all thought. He's been awesome.
Carolina Hurricane just tied it up with
here comes the story of the hurricane.
All right, what's your essential tailgate tool of the week?
My essential tailgate tool of the week, because it seems like he's starting to kind of figure things out a little bit, is Ramon Laureano.
Yeah, he's been playing. He had two home runs last week.
Yeah, he had two home runs last week. He's up to five on the season. Last year, he only had 13. So he's already, he's on pace to already pass that record. The last week wasn't great. Or last year, he had 13. The last week wasn't great. He hit 240, on base percentage was 240. He had the two home runs. So you got to see a little bit of optimism with that the power is coming in. He had a triple. The big thing I just want to see out of him is his strikeout rate needs to freaking reduce.
It never does, though, dude.
He struck out 12 times in the last week. He had 25 at-bats, and 12 of those at-bats were strikeouts. So if he can just somehow bring that down a little bit, even if it's just iffy contact, you'll take that progress. Yeah. But Ramon, and you know what? I think another thing too, he loves playing against the Astros. He just hates playing against, like he loves, True. Hates. He hates, loves, hates playing against Astros. You know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, yeah.
So Ramon, you're my guy.
I'm going to pick Kyle Muller. He's been struggling the past few starts. He had a pretty good start on yesterday. He had a pretty good start going yesterday, and then he just had one bad inning in the fourth inning that he gave up just a bunch of runs, and he just, like, lost it. It was his third time through the lineup, and, that'll happen. But he's had a rough go of it. I think he can pick it up.
You know, this is going to be an unconventional thing, and nobody's ever done this in baseball history, but I think this rotation should just go bullpen by committee for the rest of the year, because it sounds like all these guys do great through two, three innings and that's it. Let's fuck it. Let's get weird. We're going to squeeze bunt every single at bat. We're going to have bullpen committee.
With the starting rotation?
The whole starting rotation, because they only can get two or three innings out of all these guys.
Hmm.
We're going to make baseball weird. We're going to make it as weird as possible.
Should we just do the opener every game?
Yeah, exactly. An opener every game.
God. Remember that and how that didn't last very long?
I mean, the Rays still do it. The Rays still do it. The Padres are doing it. Yeah, it's just not as it's just not as popular, I guess, because it's nice when you're having when your arms on all there kind of thing. But
Do you want to give some Warriors thoughts before we end the podcast?
I'm so sick of people saying, "Oh, well, the dynasty's over. Oh, dynasty's over." You don't get to say when it's over.
Yeah.
It's over when they're all retired. And that, like, especially you, how quickly people are to say those comments after Steph had, again, one of the best seasons of his career.
Yeah.
And you don't think that, like, Joe Lacob is such a psychopath that he's going to find any way possible to keep this going? It's not. We're, look, we're disappointed. Obviously, the season sucked.
Mm-hmm.
I think Kerr said a really great quote the other day where he was like, you know, this losing taught us a lot of the flaws that we didn't realize we had, because losing's the best. He didn't say that part, but he didn't say losing's the best teacher, but it's true. There was so many problems the team had all year long that they, whether it's arrogance, whether it's just the inflexibility of it all, like there was other things it could have done to make this team better and never did. So hopefully this
Draymond offseason, punching Jordan Poole in the face before the season started probably didn't help.
Doesn't help at all. That is correct. You shouldn't punch your coworkers.
I mean,
in the face.
Even Bill Simmons talked about it because he had been sent, like, he, you know, he's trying to do a show, so he's like every week since the playoffs, like, is Dynasty going to be over? And he kind of said, like, Dynasty's not over. Like, there's moves to be made. It's just about, like, and Curry's still, like, in his prime. I don't know how he is, but still kind of is. It's just about, like, how they make these moves, like, and how they build players around. Like, I mean, Klay is back. Yes, he had a rough series against the Lakers, but he showed the second half of the season and in the first round of the playoffs that he is a version of what he used to be. He's not the defensive monster that he was anymore, but offensively he can still make some big plays. So it's like you got these two guys, you got Jordan Poole's up and coming. Are they going to keep him or are they going to get rid of him? And if they get rid of him, can they get the right role players? Like, that's the thing. There's a lot to be said about it, but I mean, it's just the way that they went out that was tough. Like getting whooped by the Lakers in the game six where it looks like they just like they
look defeated.
Yeah, they look defeated. And there was a bunch of drama going on the bench. Kuminga's fighting with the coaching staff. Jordan Poole doesn't even want to play. He's like all butthurt about what's going on. And he's like down. I don't know. And I don't think butthurt. He looked like he was upset just like because he's not playing well.
And it, you know what? It's, and again, these are the things we don't realize or we probably noticed throughout the season. And we just really, as a forefront of the conversation, that bench compared to last year, mm-hmm. where everybody had each other's backs, everybody had so much energy. JTA and Damian Lee were the biggest cheerleaders for every single player. Yeah. We didn't see that once this season.
No.
You rarely saw these guys getting excited. So, like, that's the thing. It's like, what happened in that culture where that shit just shifted?
Yeah.
It's okay. We got the Oakland A's for the rest of the summer until the Raiders come back.
We get to look forward to the Raiders, who are probably going to suck.
Oh, boy.
Sick, bro. All right, that'll do it for the pod. Thanks for listening. At Town Tailgate on Twitter. Thank you for the Fan First Sports Network for sponsoring us. And
Oaktown Boys.
Oaktown Boys. Check out their podcast. They just dropped one on Tuesday, the 17th. This is going to come out Friday, the 19th. Julio, can we get an enthusiastic last but not least?
Until the casket drops, let's go, Oakland.
Fuck you, Vegas.